Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board. There is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, the 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out our site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. Glad to be back in the studio. Happy Halloween for those. As we had no show on Thursday, we had no show on Wednesday because Race Chat Live with Craig and Chris was supposed to move to Wednesday night for the Halloween, being on Thursday. I'm not sure what ended up happening, but and then, of course, Tuesday night, I ended up getting off the show a little bit early. Excuse me. As Monday night, we went out, Brandy and daughter Peyton went out to one of Brandy's friend's house on the way back, ended up blowing a tire, ran over a big piece of metal. And then Tuesday night, the front tire started going down, and daughter was at practice and everything else, so had to jump off and was making my services available as everything was happening at one time with a flat tire. Want to make sure that 9 o'clock, yeah, it's going to be our start time. So we get the swing of things and we get things fixed on the show. So make sure you note that 110 Nation Sports Show, 9 o'clock, Tuesday, Wednesday nights. We do got Izzo joining us at 9:30. Looking forward to having him in the studio. It has been a long time since we've had Izzo in the studio talking NHL. So looking forward to that. Didn't think anything about the intro until the other day. Damn, I gotta do a new intro. We're no longer on Fort Bragg's back door. Did the intro, had the intro made. I was literally across the street, back door of Fort Bragg. I said literally throw away. Literally. Now I'm using the word literally. Could literally throw a football from my front porch and throw it over the fence of Fort Bragg is how close I was. Now up here in right outside Dayton, Ohio. Not quite so much the back door of Fort Bragg. It's kind of the back door right pat, though. I guess we got to do something about that. Got an opportunity. Didn't quite have the football week prior. Of course, we all went 14-1 in the prior week in the football pool. This week, not so good to me. One, I should have known better. Yeah, should have known better. Picked Cleveland Browns why I say that, and I picked Cleveland again for this week for my football pool. So, and against a good Buffalo team at that. I guess I've not learned too much yet still. First half of the day went 6-1. Started off the day good. Kind of went downhill. There were those that have kept up with the football pool. My football pool. So first part of this year was rough. Not a lot of good weekends to talk about. And then I know going into the second half of this last Sunday, I went from not having a season we're talking about to being 20-2 in the last 22 games. So things had changed at least a little bit for me. So games I didn't expect to turn out the way they did is the Ravens beating up the Patriots. So you see that, fan? I think the only time you would ever see me cry over a professional game like that, for the New England Patriots, is that maybe I spent all that money and went to the Super Bowl. And we lost in the Super Bowl. And I think that'd be more of a I cry because of the money I spent, not so much the fact that the Cleveland Browns lost the Super Bowl. Still didn't have one. Didn't have too bad of a day. I tell you what, go from the – I don't think I had a week in my football pool in the first up until the last 2 weeks of being in Ohio. I don't even think I had a week that was better than 5 losses. And here I am in 2 weeks. I have a combined 5-loss record with a 24-5 record since I moved. So not going to complain too much there. We'll talk a little bit more about those games and, of course, my picks tomorrow night right here on the 110 Nation Sports Show. Had an opportunity last Friday night, though. It was a caught last Tuesday show before I had to jump off and before I did jump off to try to go assist. I talked about one of the things I was looking forward to coming back to the great state of Ohio. You know, one was getting the opportunity to watch every Cleveland Browns game. Getting an idea now more of why we suck so bad. The Cleveland Browns with the penalties and line of those penalties are horrible. Turnovers ain't helping none. Nick Chubb would be a phenomenal running back if he squip fumble on the ball. Second thing was getting an opportunity to watch the Ohio State Buckeyes. Of course, being down in Carolina, which I'm not understanding why. Maybe there weren't more out-of-market games on because, I mean, to include the Carolina Panthers, Carolina's not known for football. Nobody really cares to watch these Carolina football teams because most of them suck. But getting an opportunity to watch the Buckeyes on a regular basis, which has definitely been a great thing this year. Getting an opportunity right now to watch as the Cavaliers are within 3 points here of the Boston Celtics. Kind of catch more Cleveland Cavalier games than I have. And not looking good this week. Kind of jump ball. 42 seconds left. But the other thing was getting an opportunity to watch my high school football team. That was one of the big things that I wanted an opportunity to have. You know, when I went to high school, I caught one football game the entire time I was in high school. Our biggest rival was Centerville. And was never really into worrying about going and watching the Wayne Warriors play football. And of course, as I've gotten older, watching the Warriors and having an opportunity to kind of have the Friday Night Lights experience is a big deal. And so this year, unfortunately, this is the first year that the Wayne Warriors have had a losing season in 24 years. And yeah, you get an opportunity to sit down that first week, and you get an opportunity to fully understand why the Warriors suck. Quarterback was horrible. Defense got flipped around. And the head coach was just a name picked out of the hat, and you really question why they got rid of four stouts or whatever the case was, the prior head coach. Roll into this week, and the sad thing is that they played a Springfield team, or Springfield, you talk about the Wayne Warriors, a team that when I went to high school was an average weight of 305 on the front line, state champions and everything else here, and play a team that not necessarily as Cavaliers just turned it over and everything else. It's what held hand and basket real quick and the Celtics are in it. This week play Fairmont, not a big team, but not special. And new quarterback, same defense, same coach. And we watch the Warriors go down 21-7, quick, fast, and hurry. And just have this ill feeling that we're watching, we're about to watch the same results that we've seen all season long. That's a Warrior team that just going to have it handed to them. Touchdown Warriors. Missed an extra point. 21-13, got an interesting game. Next thing you know, touchdown Warriors. 21-19. Opportunity to go for 2 points, tie this game up, kick an extra point. So my thought process here is, all right, maybe you're trying to establish or rebuild confidence in your kicker. He missed an extra point already. All right. Fairmont scores again, go up 28-20. And you have an opportunity, touchdown again. You have an opportunity. Let's go 2 points. We can tie the game or we can go for the extra points. Kick the extra points, and it's still be a one-point differential, and so we kick the extra point. Okay, if you're building up the confidence, then I got you. Well, once upon a time, it was a 21-7 game that I was contemplating because it's freaking cold, man. Really had to reevaluate my life decisions, especially Halloween. When I look at my phone and to see the weather and hadn't changed my location and the weather, the temperature is like 84 degrees with a real feel of like 91 degrees back in the Fort Bragg, North Carolina area. Then I switch it over to where I'm currently at and it's like 30 something degrees with a real feel of 28 degrees. And it's like, what was I thinking? But Friday night, not much different, cold. I'm sitting on the bleachers on the backside of your legs and your butt numb and everything else. And this is a 21-7 lead. You get to a point, you're starting to make a decision. Especially got Miss Brandy and the bleachers with me and little girl. She were all running around with a friend, so it's not as dramatic for her. She's not kind of feeling the coolness and the of the night, but we kind of start wondering to make a decision whether or not we're going to stick this thing out. How important is it to me to watch this Warrior team in the freezing cold? Well, not freezing cold, but very cool weather. To get their butts handed to them. And of course, as this thought process is going through my mind, we start chipping away. Things get real interesting on a kickoff return that involves a hit a little late out of bounds, which leads to tensions flaring up and benches start to clear out and everything else. And I was like, oh snap, we got a little fight here. Like not literally, but like the Warriors got a little fight in them. Like we're gonna see what they're about. And you're sitting at home and you're listening to the visiting fans cheer and they get a little laugh with a little bit of people that are there for them. And you got the Warriors. The players trying to get the fans into the game. And we got a little noise going on. We're a little something. And at that point, I looked at Brandy and I'm like, look, defense is going to do something right here. This is your opportunity. You want the fans to be in it. You're trying to pump the fans up. Only way the fans are going to be legitimately into this and make some noise is you got to hold them. And boom, touchdown. Well, unfortunate for them, unfortunately for us, a penalty. A couple penalties later, and they don't make it in. But since you didn't hold them, You let it build up. You didn't get the reaction. I told him. Got to hold him. And so we're sitting there, and I'm like, all right. Warriors are down by points. You got an opportunity. Warriors, you score. You start heading to it. This is the fifth. If Warriors don't get a first down, we're headed out because they're not getting the ball back anyway. And unfortunately, the Warriors never got the ball back. 28-27 was the final score. But it was a positive note. You switch quarterbacks. You actually had a quarterback in there that seemed to know. Like I said, the quarterback the week before looked like he was the kid off of Gridiron Gang that wanted to be a quarterback, but the only quarterback he really had was playing Madden. Like, he looked like he had never really played the quarterback position. And then the defense still didn't look good. Like, I don't know. We went a whole different meal plan here for in the great state of Ohio. But it's not the same meal plan that I'm used to, and I'm not used to watching a Wayne Warrior defense get slapped around like a bunch of little pitches. Like, it was not good. Something they need to work on the offseason. And piece of advice, might want to work on getting a real head coach in the offseason. Let's work on this defense, continue to build on this offense, and get somebody here who knows what the hell they're doing. Like, the play calling, there's no reason you didn't tie the game up. At any point in time, you went over for the 2-point conversion, this game would have been a whole different game. Because the Warriors had an opportunity and went for it on the fourth down late in the game versus kicking a field goal. Like, now you spent 2 opportunities to tie the game, to kick extra points, to keep your kicker's confidence up. But then you turn around, and when you're in field goal range, you decide you're going to go for it on fourth down versus kick the field goal. What was the point of keeping your kicker's confidence up if you weren't going to take an opportunity to kick a field goal and potentially win the game? So, a lot of pluses, a lot of opportunities.
way to finish the season off on the plus, and hopefully this off season
this team takes in a lane drain. The take the opportunity to build this defense. Put some size on the defense. That defense was small. I ain't seen a defense that small in a long time. Definitely work on my defense and figure out what you're going to do with the head at the head position. And let's work towards the future and let's get some W's. It's hard to move back. I'd be excited about a football team that hadn't had a losing season in 24 years, and then wham, bam, I move back and thank you, man. That's it was great to be out there. It was definitely something that I had wanted. It was difficult. Like, I never, even having children in the school system in North Carolina, I never had that connection. Like, one, football in the South, to me, especially in North Carolina, is a joke. I can't take it serious. But I've never had that excitement. I never had that want. I never had, like, that passion to want to go sit Friday night and watch high school football. Just never. One, football in the state of Ohio is much different. Just like football in the state of Texas. We get into talking about high school football in the state of Texas. They would laugh at the conversation of high school football in the state of North Carolina in the same way in Ohio. But also, you know, be a Wayne Warrior, any graduate of Wayne High School, you also have that connection and that passion to want to be a part of that whole atmosphere. And so we're definitely looking forward to next year. But it was fun. It was interesting. I was glad to see the game got turned around. And like I said, I'm glad to see that the season finished on a positive note, and they see what changes they made that worked and what needs to be done in this long season to get back onto that winning ways that this football program is known for. We got Izzo joining us. Lord have mercy, it's been a long time since Izzo, and so I've sat down. So looking forward to using this next 30 minutes for an opportunity for Izzo to get us caught up as we're good pushing into the season this year. And I'm looking forward to every week sitting down and letting Izzo catch us up, and Izzo and myself jumping into a bunch of different topics. But this week we get an opportunity to let Izzo catch us up on everything going on, how the beginning of the season has gone, and what is trending, what is who's hot, who's not, surprises, disappointments, and trying to lay the foundation of another great season here and another beginning of another year here on the 110 Nation Sports Show and the hockey section. So without further delay, Izzo, glad to have you back. It's been a long time. How you been? And let's talk some hockey.
Yeah, man, it's been quite such a long time since I've had the pleasure of doing this, but it's great to be back. Great to be back doing the Puckhead segment again on Tuesday nights. So we've had a lot of interesting things that have been happening so far, you know, and everything like that. But right now we've had one game that is finished on a slew of games that we've had going on tonight. The Islanders at home taking on the Senators, beat the Senators 4-1 in that game. Right now the Philadelphia Flyers are hosting the Carolina Hurricanes, where the Flyers are all over the Canes 4-1 right now. Also in the third, Jay, your Jackets right now are at home against the Golden Knights. The Golden Knights have a 2-1 lead with just about 2:20 left to go in the third, so there's still plenty of time right there. That's been a pretty competitive game. Right now on NBCSN at the end of the second period, we have the Montreal Canadiens taking on Zdeno Chara and the Boston Bruins right now. The Canadiens are up 4-3. This is a milestone game here for Zdeno Chara in his 22nd year, playing his 1,500th game tonight. So there was a nice little praise that the Boston Bruins did the other night, last night against the Penguins when the Penguins were in Boston. A lot of the former captains for the Bruins came and paid homage to Zdeno Chara. So congratulations to him on playing 1,500 games in a career. Also in the third, in the early parts of the third, just under 18 minutes left to go, we got the Kings in Toronto taking on the Maple Leafs. That game is tied at 1 right now. Also, in the second period, with about 4:45 left to go, the Winnipeg Jets are hosting the New Jersey Devils. That game is also tied at 1 right now, too, as well. The second period, which is a game I'm watching right now, the Dallas Stars are hosting the Colorado Avalanche. And the Stars are up 2-1 in that game. Second period is just getting ready to start off here pretty shortly. Also in the first period, just under 9 minutes to go, the Coyotes are up in Calgary taking on the Flames. They are up 1-0 in that contest right now. We do have a couple of later games that are going to be starting on later tonight. We got the Blues traveling out to Vancouver to take on the Canucks at 9 p.m. We also have Minnesota going out to California to take on the Ducks in Anaheim. And then also on NBCSN, immediately following the Bruins and Canadians, we have the Blackhawks taking on the Sharks in San Jose. So if you like some, if there's nothing good sportsy on right now, you know, and you're too sick and tired of basketball already like I am, because I just can't stand the Rockets talk right now here in Houston. It's only the beginning of the season. It's already driving me nuts. But we got the Sharks taking on the Blackhawks here on NBCSN. And, yeah, that's what we have on slate tonight, Jay. So, you know, we got a pretty big weekend coming up. Right now we have the Global Series, which will be happening this weekend between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Buffalo Sabres. Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern on NBCSN, we are going to get a game out in Stockholm, Sweden, against the Islanders and the Sabres. This is part of the NHL Global Series that takes place every year and everything like that. So this is kind of be, you know, a nice little way to expand the game in some already populated hockey areas. Sweden is a, you know, a world-renowned hockey team, not only by the players it produces, but internationally with its Olympic teams and national youth teams and everything like that. So we've had a lot of good Swedish-born players that have come out, you know, and really had a great career. The Sedin twins, King Henry from the Rangers, so on and so forth. There's been a lot of really great Swedish-born players that have come in and really done a lot of damage in the NHL. So this is going to be an interesting game to watch. I don't foresee me missing this right now either. This is going to be a pretty interesting game, especially with how these two teams have been playing. You know, as of lately right now, we all remember that horrendous downfall that the Tampa Bay Lightning suffered at the hands of your Columbus Blue Jackets in that first round last year. Right now, they are sitting three spots out of that second wild card spot. So it's kind of a hot seat for John Cooper right now. And with Buffalo is kind of the opposite. They are second in that Atlantic Division right now. All cylinders are clicking right now for the Buffalo Sabres. So I'm really looking forward to this. Buffalo has been kind of a little bit of a surprise for me this far in the beginning of the season. And also to really, you know, really not really catch me as a surprise, but one of the preseason picks that I had made myself to go all the way was the Florida Panthers, especially with the moves that they made, hiring Joe Quenneville as their coach, who obviously we all know from the days of the Chicago Blackhawks and winning those three Stanley Cups in six seasons with the Blackhawks there. So, you know, a great Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame coach, knows how to win. He's got an excellent team in Florida, especially with the acquisition of Sergei Bobrovsky, unfortunately, Jay, you know, from the Columbus Blue Jackets. But, you know, with Roberto Luongo finally calling it quits, earlier this year and everything, they had to do something to complement Barkov and that whole entire youth that they have down there in Florida. And hopefully they can get some people in the stands to really support this team. Right now they're sitting third in the Atlantic Division. You know, like I said, not really a surprise after the moves they've made, but one of the surprises that's really kind of caught me, you know, by surprise. But going out into the West, like you said, surprises thus far, about an eighth of the way through the season, Jay. You know, the Pacific Division, not what I, you know, pictured. Edmonton right now sitting at one, Vancouver at two, and Arizona at three. All three of these teams were not, you know, even in the playoffs last year. So none of them were even sniffing the playoffs for the longest, well, from the early part of the season and everything, just by how things were going. But, you know, Vancouver with Brock Boeser and company, Arizona with Rick Tocchet, now Phil Kessel there, they have a decent squad. Antti Raanta in net for Arizona. And then you look at Edmonton and, you know, where has this Edmonton been, you know, for quite some time. So, you know, I'd say the biggest surprise has been Vancouver. Vancouver is leading the NHL, I do believe, with like a plus 19 goal differential, or it's second place. I can't remember. They're in the top two. I do know that. So it's been a very big turnaround up in Vancouver in the style of play that they've been playing right now. But, you know, going through just the big surprises right there, those are the ones that really kind of, you know, really kind of step out at me right quick. But the biggest disappointment right now has to be the Dallas Stars and how they've been kind of playing, you know, to start off the season. Right now they're 6-4 their last 10 games, so they are on, you know, they are trying to battle back to 500, but this is a team that acquired Joe Pavelski during the offseason, who's captain of the San Jose Sharks for the last couple of seasons, and picking up a good veteran core guy, Stanley Cup winner, and Corey Perry from the Anaheim Ducks to kind of bolster their secondary scoring. You know, Corey Perry's getting up there in age, so he's going to bring a lot of veteran prowess to the Stars and everything. So their power play, from what I've been catching the last few games, just on the local coverage down here, has been really kind of picking up. You know, Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin are still going to be the same guys that, you know, you get in, year out. It's just a matter of trying to get, you know, secondary scoring options, you know, on the score sheet and everything so they can move up into that central, the top of the central division. So, you know, when we look at the division leaders right now, Washington leading the Metro, which is not a surprise. Boston leading the Atlantic Division. And when you go to the Central Division, the St. Louis Blues, who are trying to defend their Stanley Cup, their first one in their franchise's history. You know, they've been playing pretty well, but they just recently suffered a blow. Vladimir Tarasenko is out with a shoulder injury that required surgery, and it looks like he's going to miss about 5 to 6 months of the season. So he could be out for the regular season, which is a devastating blow offensively to the St. Louis Blues. And like I said, the Pacific Division, you got Edmonton sitting on top. So you got Connor McDavid and company trying to hold it down in that Pacific Division. So it's an eighth of the way through the season right now. And, you know, we still have plenty of hockey to go. You know, we're just now creeping into November and everything. So I think this is really where we're going to see a lot of teams and where they stand. And, you know, how soon are we going to be able to tell who's going to be buyers and sellers when the trade deadline comes around, Jay?
Had an opportunity, since you brought it up, and then being in the great state of Ohio, I get an opportunity to see more of my team sports, the Cavaliers, the Blue Jackets, the Browns, the Buckeyes. I did catch the last couple minutes of that Blue Jacket game. Had an opportunity, it was about 30 seconds left, shot an opportunity to tie the game, and he just barely missed. And Las Vegas went on to win 2-1. Speaking of my Blue Jackets, first part of the season so far, what does my team need to do to turn things around? What has stood out? And is this the same Blue Jacket team that we were hoping, well, I was hoping was going to go deep into the playoffs and possibly win the Stanley Cup? Or is this a team that is not looking as good and some changes need to be made?
Well, I don't necessarily think that changes need to be made, especially if you look at what happened, you know, during the off season. You went all in, grabbing Matt Duchene, last season to bring him into the mix with Panarin, who was there for the last couple seasons. You know, you had a Vezina-winning goaltender in Sergei Bobrovsky. You lose Ryan Dzingel, but you still have some key guys, you know, that are in this locker room. You know, you still have Seth Jones, you still have Cam Atkinson, Zach Werenski. So you still have, you know, a good, you know, core guys that are still young, still have a lot of potential to still hit, you know, and with all this money being, you know, freed up, you know, you still have to, you still have enough cap room to make a splash. So, I mean, if you really look at it, you know, right now, goaltending and offense were the biggest ones that got hit. You know, when it comes to the Blue Jackets. You know, right now, it's really not that bad. You know, they're 5-7. You know, right now, they're 3-4-3. Their last 10. You know, so it hasn't really been too great. They haven't been great at home. They haven't really been great on the road either. They have one of the league's worst goal differentials right now, and -17, which is a big, which is a big disappointment right now. But, you know, that was to be expected. You know, Korpisalo is a good goaltender, you know, was a capable backup, but I don't know if he's necessarily the answer just from the couple games that I've been paying attention to and, you know, in certain situations. You know, right now they're 4 spots out of that second wild card spot, which is being held by Toronto right now. That Metro division, I do believe, is going to be tight again, just like it always is. You know, Pittsburgh holds the number one wild card spot for the Metro division, and they're 8-6, and Carolina is, 9-5 right now. So it's very tight right now, and it's still pretty early on. You know, the guys are scoring goals. The offense is somewhat still there, and you have money now to really try and go out and make a big name, make a big splash in some sort of trade or move, you know, coming along, you know, down the line. You know, there's going to be some guys that I do believe they're probably going to be, you know, on the move, whether it's coming from teams like Los Angeles, where there have been several rumors about a lot of guys possibly being on the trade block, depending on how December goes for the Kings, you know. And if you look at the East, you know, Ottawa's at the bottom of the list. New Jersey right now, who are still trying to extend Taylor Hall, who they got from the Oilers a couple seasons ago. This could be a guy that you might, you know, that could fit in really well in how Tortorella plays. There is some familiarity there. Both the guys have been on the part of the U.S. national team before. So there is some chemistry and some history there to try and do something. So that's something that I would possibly try and look at too, if I was Columbus, is seeing what New Jersey is going to do with Taylor Hall. Right now things have not been going too well for the New Jersey Devils with the addition of PK Subban from the Nashville Predators. You still have Taylor Hall, and you draft a guy like Jack Hughes. Goaltending and defense have been somewhat lacking in that department too. I think they're one of the other worst teams with a goal differential at -14. So they haven't really been winning at all, you know, anywhere. So they're horrible at home, and they haven't they're horrible on the road, and they're horrible at home. So, you know, if you can't win on your own ice or on the road, it's going to be a long, long season for you. So, they could be a team that could be possibly a seller. That Taylor Hall, that might, you know, if I was a GM up in Columbus, that might be something I might want to pursue, depending on how things go between Taylor Hall's agent and the Devils, which I guess are going to be going on contract talks here soon when the Devils go on their next road trip that's coming up. So, you know, that's probably my biggest thing that if I were Columbus, I would look at possibly trying to see if I can snag my way into trying to get the likes of Taylor Hall. I don't know what kind of assets the Columbus Blue Jackets have right now, draft pick wise or, you know, any kind of prospect tools that they might have in the system or you know, might be a healthy scratch consistently. But, you know, that could be something that would really boost the offense. And then looking at the goaltending situation, you know, Jonathan Quick is another name that pops up, longtime LA Kings goaltender, two-time Stanley Cup winner. He could be, you know, he's still fairly young, like 33, 34, so he still has some miles, you know, left on the tires and everything to make another a cup run. And I do believe that, you know, that could be an excellent fit, you know, for a young team like for Columbus. You know, a guy who's been there, has won the cup twice, won the Conn Smythe, you know, has had international success with Team USA. So, you know, I think Jonathan Quick and Taylor Hall could be two guys, you know, later on down the line, you know, maybe late December, possibly early January, where you could try and say, hey, listen, look, let's try and work out a deal where you can try and nab, you know, if not both of those players, at least one of them, you know. But goaltending, I think, is probably going to be the more pressing issue right now, Jay, for the Columbus Blue Jackets, just because I just don't see anything in their farm system and what they have right now that'll get them, you know, even out of the first round, even if they make it.
Speaking of the first part of the season and speaking of surprises and disappointments, well, before we jump into that, it seems that every sport has the off-season changes that come about in the new season, rule changes, way the game is played, changing even with the NFL, with the whole read option and then the rules and everything else. Every sport goes through this, and it seems every year there's something different and the league trying to better itself and everything else. This year so far, has there been any significant changes that you have noticed in the way the game is played, the way that the game is flowing, different to previous years? And then also, was there any rule changes in this off season that has changed things this year, affected things, likes, dislikes, or anything of the sorts for this year so far?
Well, there have been a couple rule changes that I really like that I didn't even know about until I actually watched the game and see him kind of play out. Faceoffs following an icing to begin a power play, following an icing as well as the beginning of a power play, the offensive team has the choice now to pick which circle they want to have the faceoff take at. So, you know, a play could end on the left side, but a team can go ahead and say, hey, let's move this faceoff over to the right-hand circle. So now teams in the offensive zone after an icing at the beginning of a penalty can now choose which circle they want to take the faceoff, you know, depending on what their strengths are and everything like that. So that's really kind of played out pretty well from what I've seen, too. I think another one, the puck out of bounds. When the team is attacking, when the attacking team is responsible for the puck going out of play in the attacking zone, in all instances, the faceoff will be conducted at one of the two faceoff dots in the attacking zone. So not necessarily now where it's going to go out to neutral ice. You're going to get some offensive zone faceoffs and everything, especially as long as it's not, you know, evident that the attacking player deliberately put the puck off sides are out of play and everything. So we do have some other penalties for unsuccessful challenges. First one is a minor penalty for delay of the game on the club's first unsuccessful coaches challenge. And the second one is a double minor penalty. So not only are you going to get 2 minutes for the first one, but you're going to get four for the second one. So a lot of these scoring plays are now going to be under review. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I want to make sure I got that right. Where the NFL, all you do is lose a timeout. If you're unsuccessful, you don't get penalized for it. Am I hearing that right? In the NHL, if you lose the challenge, you actually get a penalty for it?
Yes. If you lose your first challenge, you will receive a two-minute minor penalty. If you lose the second one, you get a four-minute double minor penalty. So, you know, the stakes are even higher now. So, and it's actually cut down on some of the challenges, you know, thus far that I've seen so far. I haven't really seen too many challenges being made, but There's going to be a lot of automatic reviews, especially for that play in the playoffs last year where the guy, I do believe it was from the San Jose Sharks, deliberately used his hand to pass the puck to a teammate that resulted in a goal that should not have been a goal. So these plays are going to be reviewed. And the expansion of the coach's challenge, instead of offsides and interference on the goalkeeper, the third category will allow coaches to challenge goal calls on the ice that follow plays in the offensive zone that should result in a stoppage of play. And that's that hand pass that I just described for the expansion of the new coach's challenge. So, those have been the new rule changes that have really stuck out to me so far. Although there are a couple different ones, new ones that I haven't really seen been called yet, which are the major match penalties. Referees will be required to conduct an on-ice video review for all major non-fighting and match penalties as they assess on the ice for the purpose of confirming a penalty or reducing the penalty to a two-minute minor penalty. So, now these major penalties, whether they be charging, boarding, head-to-head contact, anything like that, they will be required to look at the video and confirm that it is a major penalty. And, whether they're going to add a game misconduct or, reduce it because they saw something, they have the ability to do that now. So referees also now have the ability to conduct an on-ice video review to confirm the original call, which is for high sticking. Sometimes some of these players get high sticked by their own teammates. Referees now can go back and take a look to confirm if it was a defending player that committed the penalty or if it was friendly fire, essentially. So now there's going to be, I haven't really seen anything so far review-wise that has to deal with anything like that. There have been a couple high-sticking calls that I did notice in some games that haven't been called that were pretty blatantly obvious. I think even Stevie Wonder could have called those, especially in the Penn Bruins game where Zdeno Chara just got whacked in the mouth. I haven't really seen any kind of examples, although I am trying to watch as much hockey as possible to try and catch one of these incidents so I can, kind of get a better grasp of how this is going to be attacked and everything. But, with the face-offs being changed, where the attacking team can pick which circle it wants, which has been fairly effective. I've seen it work a couple times in a few different games. And the penalties for unsuccessful coaches challenge has been the other one that I've really been trying to pay attention to too as well. So, like I said, it's really cut down on a lot of the challenges that we saw in the game last year so far. So. We'll see if that trend, stays consistent throughout the season. And you best better believe I'm going to be watching every single coach's challenge humanly possible. So only ones that I've seen so far were just some offsides plays that resulted in goals. But I'm waiting for the first unsuccessful one for me personally. So I'm interested to see how that's going to work out too. So. Because, everybody's always looking at them little tablets and everything like that. So now there's guys up in the box at these hockey games that are, that's their job now. Where they're just kind of going over tape, all right, yeah, go ahead and challenge that coach. Or, no, you better not. I don't like the way that one looks. So, I think it's going to help the game, especially speed it along, and everything like that. So, it's a fast game as it is. Sometimes, as you've seen, Jay, during games, they'll go 7 straight minutes without, a whistle being blown, sometimes even longer. Mm-hmm. And even if something happens, they'll still go back and take a look at that video and put that time back on. So, I think it's going to really kind of help. I can only remember a handful of times in the past where I've seen more than 2 minutes be put back up on a clock, as a result of a video review. So, we'll see how this plays out, but, it's definitely cut down the challenges that I've seen so far. Just because of nobody wants to put their team, the coaches don't want to put their team shorthanded. So that's the last thing that they want to do. So, They got to be evidently, 100% concrete, that they're going to be, that they're going to win the, that they're going to get the call overturned essentially. So, I've been trying to watch as much hockey as possible just so I can, like I said, bask in the glory of seeing a coach unsuccessfully challenge and put his team shorthanded. So there's going to be a scapegoat here soon. I know there is. I have full faith that somebody is going to be desperate and try and do something. So, honestly, I think these rule changes have really kind of, really simplified a lot of things, especially for the video review for certain aspects of the game. And like I said, attacking teams at the beginning of a power play or an icing call can choose which circle they want to take the draw in. That does kind of revolutionize the game a little bit. Especially, if you have a center that's dominant in the left circle, if you have a right-handed shot, that's a center that dominates, on the left side, whatever the case may be, teams can now run more set plays, just due to icing and power plays now. So it's going to be interesting to see how many coaches really try and implement, a set face-off play. I do know that the Pittsburgh Penguins are one of the few teams that really run a lot of set special plays off the face-off in the attacking zone. So we'll see what kind of teams and coaches are going to jump on that, with this new rule change and everything. So it's going to be interesting to see nonetheless, Jay.
Definitely looking forward to sitting here and doing this again every week with you. So I'm glad to be back in the great state of Ohio. It's been a long time. So now dive into this and do what we do every week. So looking forward to that. Do want to shout out real quick because this just came out. Big shout out to my Ohio State Buckeyes. The 2019 playoff rankings just came out. Ohio State is taking the top spot as we go into the playoffs right now. It is Ohio State 1, LSU 2, Alabama 3, and Penn State. Round of top 4. We got Big Ten and SEC. That's it. College football on top, so we'll see how that plays out as well. But Izzo, glad to have you back. Glad to sit down next week. We'll game plan a little bit better ahead of time than we did like before, and shoot me the notes, and we'll get back into the flow of this.
Hey, it's been a blast. Glad to be back, and we're just counting down the couple weeks until that Ohio State Penn State matchup. You best better believe, Jay. Oh man, I'm excited. I'm excited. Me a Western PA boy, and you back home in Ohio. You best better believe it's going to be an interesting weekend when that comes up. We got to get through Minnesota first. I am worried about Minnesota. I'm not going to lie. Okay, Penn State hasn't gone this deep undefeated since God knows when. And knowing them, I have a little bit of worry for Minnesota. If we make it through Minnesota, we're coming. We're coming. James Franklin, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Oh, man, I can't wait. But, it's always been fun. We'll get you guys caught up throughout the season about what's going on. We have two games on for tomorrow night. NBCSN, Wednesday Night Hockey. We got two original six teams going at it. We got the Detroit Red Wings going into Madison Square Garden to take on the Rangers. And then we have another early game where we have the St. Louis Blues going out to Edmonton to take on the Oilers. Those are the two games that we have on. And like I said, the Global Series is going to be this weekend. The Lightning are going to be taking on the Sabres over in Stockholm, Sweden at the Ericsson Globe Arena. And that's going to be the game one. Game two is also going to be on Saturday, noon, on NHL Network, Game 2, Sabres and Lightning. This is going to be a home-and-home for each team. So two games over in Stockholm, Sweden that we got going on this weekend. So going to be a lot of games on NHL Network this weekend. Pens and Blackhawks are also going to be on. So NHL Network and NBCSN, this is going to be the channel to watch this weekend, boys.
Definitely. We'll catch up later on the week, Izzo. You have a great week, and talk to you next Tuesday.
Definitely, guys. Take it easy.
As we get a wrap up for the studio, don't forget, tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, as we'll be doing one-hour shows from 9 to 10 until we kind of get in the flow of everything. And and or I find me another co-host to help make me last this 2 hours. Just gotta get back in the flow of things. See, even though life has slowed down considerable amounts, I only got to work one job. It's still very busy and very hectic. Between my mom and Miss Brandy, I stay real busy still. I was sleeping in until 7 o'clock on Saturday morning before I went on the cancer walk and everything else. That was an accomplishment. That was the most I've slept in, even not having to work in the weekends no more. But it's go, go, go. I've been home 2 weeks, 2 cancer walks, a soccer banquet, a drill team banquet, trick or treat, church. It just seems like practices. It just seems like there's one thing after another. So we're going to get back in the flow of things, and we're going to continue doing what we're doing here and continue to grow. Everybody knows what I'm doing Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights right here in the studio. So I have that, and I got the full support and not only the full support and understanding how important and doing this, but also the full support that I have my most important people in my life listening in to the shows and sending me messages, and that's all. I know they're not just saying they listen to the show because I'm getting messages about things, on different things that I say, so I greatly appreciate actually having full support and knowing that they understand how important this is to us. Don't forget, Thursday night, Race Chat Live, Bruce and Craig. Make sure you guys tune in. Great time. Talk about Kevin Harvick. I told him, Logano is going to find himself outside of that top four. Kevin Harvick is going to find his way in, and it's Harvick's in. Logano's just about out. I told you how to, no, I'm sorry, not Logano, but Hamlin. I told you that's how it was going to play out, and it's getting there. So I'm sure it's going to be a topic of conversation as I join the guys on Thursday night. Let me make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus. Without their support, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and grow the way we grow. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. Like us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check out the site, www.110nationsports.com, for all the latest. Tonight, I will be giving my picks. I don't think I had a week that I was better than a 5-loss week, and been home for 2 weeks, and I'm 24-5. I'm not going to complain. It's been a great couple weeks for me in the NFL picks, and hopefully we continue doing that. But tomorrow night, make sure you guys tune in. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.